God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us before we even asked, before we even knew that there was a God. This plan was in place, as Rob mentioned in his opening prayer about a greater plan that God has in place. We're learning about that. I think we can learn a little bit more as we look at this topic of forgiveness. Not God's forgiveness in this case, but ours. As we implement the pattern of life that we've been called to, we need to learn to be forgivers. It's a tremendous power to be able to forgive someone, and I'll talk about that as we continue on here. I have three examples I'd like to kind of flesh out a little bit here as we go. The first one is that forgiveness restores. Luke 7. And I'll pick up a little bit of what Christ had to say here. Here's the example of, as the heading has it, the sinful woman who came along after Christ had entered the Pharisee's house, and she wept, and her tears actually washed his feet, and with her hair she dried his feet. And we continue on in the story. And Christ challenges the Pharisee, saying, "You didn't give me water for my feet or any of these other things, but this woman did." And then we come to the point of the lesson here in verse 47. "Therefore I say to you, her sins, which are many," even that heading I think is properly understood. This woman may have had a public reputation that wasn't so good. "Therefore I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven." Why? "For she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little." 1 Peter 4 verse 8 talks about this a little bit, where it says that love will, and I'm not going to turn there, I'll cite it, love will cover a multitude of sins. Forgiveness. When you love someone, that would be a part of the package, right? Of forgiving them. You don't love them and not forgive them. Luke 6 gives us another account. A little more depth here. Luke 6, verse 27. And I'll read through verse 36. In verse 27 of Luke 6, "But I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, and pray for those who spitefully use you." Boy, that's easy to read, isn't it? Harder to do. "To him who strikes you on the one cheek, offer the other also. And from him who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who asks of you, and from him who takes away your goods, do not ask them back. And just as you want men to do to you, you also do to them likewise." The very foundational principle on forgiving others. And in verse 36, verse 35, "But love your enemies, do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be the sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the unthankful and evil." That's God's pattern. "Therefore be merciful, just as your Father also is merciful." doing that, being forgiving, will help restore relationships. But the second point is, you can forgive someone and they may never even know you did so. It's something you can do when you're driving in traffic, right? Instead of getting mad and letting the blood boil a little bit, let go. Give way. Open. You want to cut me off? Let me back up and I'll hit the brake so you can get in safely. Oh, that's hard to do, right? But Mark 11 gives us some more information on this. And I'd like to read Mark 11, verses 25 and 26. Christ says here, and whenever you stand praying, or if you're kneeling, in whatever position you find yourself, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him. You don't mount a prayer before God with great rancor and anger, but you forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, and boy, here's the zinger in this, if you don't forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. This is an ongoing challenge for Christians right now, to forgive. And it's easy to get in a judgmental attitude among ourselves. I like him better than the other him, or her better than the other her. I like to hear this or that. You know, it's very important that we move to a point where we don't have to engage in this forgiveness quite so often. That's called growth, right? But nonetheless, it's also character that we do forgive, so it's a tool that we must implement. Colossians 3, again, I'm talking about forgiving someone and them not even being aware of it, as that example in Mark so adequately and dramatically points out to me. Anyway, it's dramatic. It's such an important lesson. In Colossians 3, I'll begin to read in verse 12. And I better be in Colossians instead of Ephesians to do that. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. This is Christianity 101 in graduate level. It's everything about Christianity. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And in verse 17, and whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. We can't do our life being angry and mad and holding grudges. We have to be forgiving. And I'll just cite Romans 12, verses 17 through 21, and pick up verse 18. But it's a great reference, so I'll include it here. If it is possible, as much as it depends on you, live peaceably with all men, with everyone. Sometimes it's beyond your control, I understand. How you react, though, is always a choice we get to make. Then the third point. Forgiveness is our responsibility. Let's go to Matthew 18. And I will begin in verse 21. The tendency as we prepare sermons and sermonettes is we find a scripture, then we find another scripture. And boy, there's a whole bunch of good scriptures here. Then we have to come back and do what Erica does, do a little pruning. By the way, Erica, thank you very much for the efforts on the floral arrangement. That's become our signature mark here by having those here. In Matthew 18, verse 21, then Peter came to him and said, and I love the pre-converted Peter. He has some of the classic questions that probably all crosses our mind. Then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? Boy, I've got this in control, Lord. I'm offering up seven times. And Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. Verses 17, verse 35 is where I want to go next. As he responds and gives an answer to this, here's the conclusion by Jesus. So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. It is a responsibility that God holds over us. Luke 17 gives a little version of this that I want to quote in verses 1 through 4. Luke 17, verse 1, then he said to the disciples here, to us, it is impossible that no offenses should come, but woe to him through whom they do come. Not supposed to cause offense, but it happens. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea than that one should offend one of these little ones. Take heed to yourselves. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins again, you seven times in a day, and seven times in a day returns to you saying, I repent, you shall forgive him. So the couple of aspects working here. We can forgive. We have that power. And if someone, and if we're a little reluctant and someone says, look, I'm sorry, I made a mistake, what's the answer? I accept that apology. James 2 and verse 13. Again, to tie this into the responsibility aspect of this third point that I'm talking about in forgiveness, James 2 and verse 13. So speak and so do as those who will be judged by the law of liberty. I began in verse 12. For judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. So we have that challenge set before us. As I said, forgiveness is a great power we have to mend and build up relationships, to be a light in the world, as we've been hearing about in this particular feast. In the Church of God, we're going to witness one another's mistakes. Sins, if you please. Big problems and little problems. And we have options on how we're going to react, right? Some of those options might not be the best. We can harbor hatred, resentment, and hurt feelings, or we can seek a resolve. We can forgive. And you know how easy it is when one person is willing to offer the hand of fellowship in a forgiving way, our willingness to forgive, how that just opens the door. It's a challenge we have, brethren, and as time, well, let me pick up a warning that just occurs to me that I'll respond to and turn to it. In Matthew 24 and verse 10, I'll read, and then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. Let's not be a part of that group. it would be easy to fall into. As times get tougher, and they will certainly as we have been warned, let's also remember the epic warning in the example or sample prayer that Jesus Christ gave when he was teaching us topics that we should pray about, and I'll conclude with that. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors.